Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Motown Maurice and Friends. This is the second episode of the year, and I am elated to keep this on going on this Thursday, April 12, 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very special show for you today, and I'm very excited about bringing that guest on. We're taking the direction of the show to a state of consciousness and a message that everyone needs to be aware of. So before I bring on my guest, I have to bring up my co-host for today, which I'm very excited to have because she is a previous guest on Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle, and she is here today to co-host with me. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Adonna Kay. Put your hands together. Adonna, how are you doing? Adonna?
Oh, hi. There's some crazy delay happening. How you doing?
Yeah. You got to take off the delay on your computer.
Hey.
What is going on, Adonna? How you doing?
I'm doing so well, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm happy to have you on this
Can you
show.
Hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
How you doing?
So I got a question for you, Adonna. All right?
Okay.
It's a trivial question. Now, if you were to ask me this question, I probably would not have been able to give you the correct answer, but I'm going to put you on the spot, okay?
Okay.
Tell me if you can tell me who came up with, who stated this quote. And the quote is, "The greatness of a nation can be judged by the way animals are treated." Who said that?
Eleanor Roosevelt.
It
you said all the good ones.
Good,
I'm just throwing her name out there.
Excuse me?
I said Eleanor Roosevelt said all the good ones, so I'm just going to throw her name out there.
That is a good guess. It's probably a better guess than I would have gave. But it is Gandhi who said that, Mahatma Gandhi. Oh. And it is a very, very important quote to know, and it is a quote that is going to set the tone of this interview here today. The greatness of a nation can be judged by the way its animals are treated. And as we continue on in 2012, there are some alarming results that is being broadcast on the news everywhere, and which is why I was led to invite our guest today. So I'm just going to go ahead and prepare to introduce our guest. Our guest today has a connection, love, and concern for the well-being of animals. He is the founder of Feed the Minds Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation used to produce educational and nurture documentaries that focus on animal consciousness, people helping animals, and people helping the planet. It is my great pleasure to introduce to us all today, Tom Porter. Put your hands together.
Ah, thank you, Motown Maurice and Adonna Kay.
Hey.
It is great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous. I do appreciate this opportunity because the public does need to be aware of these issues about animals and the environment.
Yes. It's very important. You know, I'm very intrigued by animals. I've been intrigued by animals all my life. And what intrigues me the most is, like, when we discover new creatures, when we discover new species. Like sometimes there's a tsunami that comes around and then all of a sudden there's reports and all these different species that have never been seen before, or species that they thought was gone, and they're you know, in the ocean, and we just never discover them. That is so intriguing to me. But what hurts my heart, what burdens my heart, is when I find out that there are animals that are endangered and they're on the edge of being extinct. And that is why I brought you on the show today, because if there's anything that I can do or my listeners can do to help remove this catastrophe, let's do it by talking about it.
Okay, yes, fabulous. Yeah, awareness is the first step, and then to change and to become more aware of what we're doing, how we can reduce, how we don't have to drive a car everywhere. We can take a bike, public transportation, or walk. is kind of first step, reducing the amount of trash that you produce. You know, we produce a lot of trash and garbage. There's a giant garbage gyre in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and then there's in the Atlantic, where plastics and floating garbage are in our oceans, and it's created a giant garbage patch large as the United States in the Pacific, gigantic. And, you know, this is a very harmful impact. The tsunami, of course, in Japan recently also created a lot of debris that was washed out into the ocean.
Mm. Wow. And the
plastics is a big thing, because plastics does not break down very rapidly. So it stays in the environment, and a lot of animals get entangled or ingest plastics.
Mm. Now, Donna, I know at one point in time you were a dolphin enthusiast. And are you still on?
I am, absolutely. Every now and again I forget, but then once I see a picture of a dolphin, my heart just, like, jumps out of my chest. They're like the puppies of the ocean. They're so cute. I love them.
Yes, and Tom, you have a connection with the whales also, right? With whales. You've kissed a whale at one point.
I do. You know, Marineland of the Pacific no longer exists, but I was an educator and a research scientist for Marineland of the Pacific, and we worked on a project counting marine mammals. And then later I worked at the Cabrillo Aquarium. I've been to Mexico several times. I created a documentary about dolphins and whales called Guide to Whale Watching. So, yeah, one of my big passions is dolphins. I initially wanted to study cetaceans, which are the bigger whales, but when I saw dolphins and their pups or calves swimming, I was, like, blown away. When you see these dolphins swimming, it's just amazing. I just fell in love with them immediately.
Wow. So I want to stay on this topic of extinction real quick before we move on to somewhere else. Now, what it's everyday, basically what you're saying is everyday things that we're doing that we may not be aware of about is causing the extinction of animals. Can you mention some other things, or can you talk about it some more?
Well, the planet, there's 7 billion people on the planet. That is probably the biggest environmental concern right now. There are so many people. We demand so many resources. We're taking away the natural habitat of many animals. If an animal doesn't have a place to live, it ceases to exist. So many of our wild places on this planet are no longer. It's happening everywhere in the world. And then we're also producing a lot of carbon. And that carbon goes into the atmosphere and it goes into the ocean. And we've all heard about global climate change. And now one of the big issues, too, is the acidification of the oceans, which, you know, we get most of our oxygen. We do get it from trees, which is important, too, the rainforest and such. And all the trees, we can plant trees. But this acidification in the ocean is a critical problem, because it's the basis of the food chain and where we get most of our oxygen.
Mm.
And if the fish, there are so many environmental issues. Overfishing is a big issue, but we depend on this plankton because it produces the base of the food chain for all the fish. Rely on plankton, so it's a big issue. When the acid in the ocean gets to a point where the carbonic shells are unable to be produced, plankton is in serious jeopardy, and so is our planet.
Wow. Wow. So with that being said, I want to play like the angle of a character right now, someone who is, I'm going to ask you a question of ignorance. And the question is, so what if we lose a few animals? I mean, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, what do you, how do you respond to someone who really doesn't find a reason to care about the loss of a few animals?
Well, there is, well, okay, a good example is the rainforest, because you may have already heard this, that many plants have not been analyzed yet and could produce medicine for to save a lot of people's lives. It is a big issue, but there's also a bigger, it's our own survival. It's like these animals are like rivets in an airplane, and you can lose a few rivets, but at some point the airplane is going to cease to fly, because we're part of this food web. We're part of the environment. We're part of nature. And when people think that we aren't, they're making a big mistake. I think the global climate change is going to have some serious impacts on people's health and economies.
So are there people now, I can imagine, down in the rainforest, like researching all these medicinal plants and small little, you know, remedies and things like that? Do you think we're going to have modern-day shamans and things coming about?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's an organization called Panthera, which the South American government, several of them have joined together to produce these preserves. So especially jaguars can survive. So these corridors are very important, because when you protect one species like this, many other species benefit from these protected habitats. So, yeah, there are many modern-day shamans and expert on medicinal plant medicine.
It's amazing.
That is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, just at home, right at home base, California has a lot of concerns also. You mentioned something about the Harden Act. It has to do with the cats and dogs and how quick they will be euthanized. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah, Tom Hayden. He used to be married to Jane Fonda years ago, but he had a bill. He was a state senator in California. And right now, you know, a lot of budgets are under attack because, you know, they just don't want to spend the money. But there is a bill that would reduce the shelter stay of an animal to 3 days. So Governor Brown may repeal the Hayden Act. So it would be unfortunate. So if you lost your dog on Friday night and you didn't get into the shelter, if you didn't make it into Tuesday, the dog might be dead. They may have euthanized it. So a lot of my friends are asking the public to support the Hayden Act and not repeal it. So if you're in California, or even if you're not in California, I'd urge you to contact state senators and Governor Brown to request that the Hayden Act not be repealed.
Not be repealed. So we got to support.
Because it's important that animals have a few extra days to have extra time, so they can so their owners can find them, or they have more time to get a home. Let me throw this in while we're talking about this. I'd like the listeners to always remember to spay and neuter their pets, because pet overpopulation is a big issue. Millions of dogs, millions of cats are euthanized every year.
They have little puppies and kittens so quickly, so I can imagine how many.
They do. Well, a dog or a cat can, over time, can produce thousands of other animals, and many people don't realize it. That's why I think I'm so grateful to you and Adana that you're putting on this show, because awareness is the first step. I have some of my friends, they want to breed dogs, and so they're not aware that there are so many dogs out there. There's not enough homes for them. So
right,
and
nature is a great concern
that millions of cats, millions of dogs are dying every year just because there's no homes for them. We can't take them all in, unfortunately.
And if they were in the wild, then their litters, like natural selection, would keep the population down. But now that they're pets, we want to keep all 12 of every litter so their population grows.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I lived near the National Forest, Angeles National Forest, and often people would release their dogs or cats into the forest, it's a chaparral area. And they would think they could survive. Domesticated dogs and cats rarely can survive in a rural area. So it's almost like a death sentence. So it's inhumane just to release your dog into a wild area. So I'd like your listeners to try to be sensitive, to try to think about the animal, the health and well-being of all these animals.
Yes, yes. Well, listeners, make sure you spay and neuter your cats and dogs. Now.
Yes.
Now let's talk from, you know, one-on-one perspective on health and how we treat our own bodies and how the way we treat our bodies can help the planet. Now, every now and then I'm a part-time vegetarian. I might go 2 days without eating any meat or anything like that. Part-time, I haven't taken a full-time role as being a vegetarian. But you are a vegetarian and you promote vegetarianism. And how does that
That's correct. You know, thanks for doing that. You know, that's one thing I tell people to get started. Yeah, just take a day off here and there. And then you do 2 days here and there. Or just only eat meat on one day. That's a good first step. A woman named Laura Houston, who runs Animal Acres, really, I was a vegetarian since I was 16.
Wow.
But then I kind of slipped out of the habit. But she encouraged me to get back into the habit. She encourages vegetarianism and veganism. And because her issue is farm animals are animals too, meaning that everyone's aware of it. Anybody that's had a dog knows that dogs are sensitive, intelligent beings. Well, so are farm animals. So are sheep, goats, pigs, and chickens. They're very intelligent, sensitive animals. So she's making a case that we should stop eating them. And then the fact about becoming vegan is it's very cruel to produce eggs. Many of these chickens live for 2 years in a very cramped cage about the size of a folded newspaper. They stick several chickens in the cage, and they produce eggs. They live there for 2 years in very cruel, inhumane conditions, and that's how we get many of our eggs. So she's encouraging people, myself too, to give up eggs. A lot of animals are being bred and raised in factory farms. Well, factory farms, they have to use health growth hormones, antibiotics, pesticides. So these animals are very unhealthy to eat because of the negative impact in the body. They're not healthy to eat. The meat is tainted with pesticides and growth hormones.
You were going to ask a question, Adana?
Yeah, I was going to about the eggs. Because personally, I couldn't be a vegan because I love cheese too much. But thank you. What about seeking out eggs from free-range chickens? I mean, that would be okay, right?
That's a better alternative. Yes.
And you mentioned a lot of these growth hormones and pesticides and antibiotics. They're the leading cause of some of the, you know, some of our children growing up too early, I should say, being a little too busty than they should be at a certain age, if you feel what I'm saying.
You know, our rate of life expectancy is actually going down. It should be going up, shouldn't it? Because of all the breakthroughs in science and medicine, it's actually going down, and it's because of all the pesticides and hormones and other things in our environment, pollution, air pollution, and water pollution that are actually causing the human lifespan to decrease.
So is organic really organic? Are you eat organic?
Yes. Of course, but you know, it's hard to get away from it. there's genetically modified foods, and there's systemic pesticides, which are in the whole food chain and the whole farming agricultural business. That the systemic pesticides is in the genes of some of these crops and plants and food. So it's almost impossible to get away from it completely.
Wow. How do you know if your food is actually organic?
You know, that's a good question. And I saw recently on a newscast that, you know, I guess you have to investigate and make sure and trust the farmer that's actually producing the goods, because I've heard that sometimes some of the farmers aren't being totally honest about their methods and stuff. So I go to a farmer's market and, you know, I guess you have to trust, or that's a really good question because I don't know the answer to that. But I guess visit the farm, or if that's possible. I know that's a lot of extra work to do that. But,
it's all about
it might be
element worth
it, though, because you're saving your health.
Yes, it's worth the research, and it's an element of trust that we all have to use at one point in time. You know, Tom, before we started this interview, we had a pre-interview, and you mentioned a lot about chimpanzees and how they're being experimented upon and how so inhumane it is. And as you were talking about this real-life situation, it almost sounds like the plot of Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You know, the actual movie. But this is in real life. They're being used for medical research, and it is extremely in brutal, solitary conditions, and it should be outlawed. Talk about the amazing animal of the chimpanzee and this situation.
Chimpanzees are amazing. They're nearly identical to human beings in many ways. When the AIDS epidemic broke, they were intensely bred, but unfortunately, although they're very genetically similar, they do not make good medical research victims. I guess you call them victims. They do not get human AIDS. Although they're in the 96-97% genetically identical to humans, they do not make good biological research laboratory experiments, and it's been banned. The use of chimpanzees has been banned in England and Japan. They don't use chimpanzees anymore. There's a bill in front of Congress, the Great Ape Protection Act, which would ban the use of these great apes in medical research. That includes the gorilla, chimpanzee, orangutan, and the bonobo. The bonobo is a small species of kind of almost a suborder of chimpanzees. They're like a smaller breed of chimpanzees, but they are their own species. So, chimpanzees are amazingly intelligent. Well, since they're so genetically similar to humans, you can imagine that they have much or even sometimes far superior memory of humans. Unfortunately, they can't speak. If they could, we would be amazed at what they can say. They've been taught to do sign language. There's many examples. They were used in the space program. Some of the early chimpanzees actually operated spacecraft.
Wow.
Before humans went into space.
Wow.
And then, unfortunately, the Air Force sold them into medical experiment projects. So animals are abused. People don't realize that animals are intelligent and sensitive beings and that they should be protected.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy
that they operated space, you know, equipment and things like that.
Yes, they piloted spacecraft. They're very intelligent beings. And then for their good work, they were abused later. So
right. I bet the governments were like,
let's with animals. You know, it's a convenient. I think oftentimes humans use animals at their convenience, not thinking about the emotional cost to these individuals. It's a real heartbreak. Sometimes people are insensitive. That's why I'm so grateful to be on this program to increase awareness about animals and the environment. Because, you know, ultimately it's our health too. Because we're polluting our own environment, that's going to cost us in our health.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying the price with our health.
Mm-hmm. Increasing awareness.
I'm so glad you mentioned that the life expectancy is actually decreasing instead of increasing, because I think people have this idea that because of all the technical and medical advancements, we're going to be living to 120 in 10 years. But I'm so glad that you mentioned the opposite, because of the impact of our research and things like that, we are actually decreasing our own life expectancy instead.
Yeah, of course. You naturally assume, oh, our medicine is better now than it was 30 years ago. Well, it is better, but since we're living in a polluted world with the hormones and the pesticides, we're actually living shorter lives.
Yeah.
Mm. That is crazy. That is crazy. Oh, there's another issue that I want to bring some awareness to. And every time I hear about this on the news, it just frustrates me. And I vow to myself, I never want to be rich. You know, every time I hear about some wealthy, rich, you know, celebrity that are shooting mountain lions or animals as a game, it just disgusts me. I'm like, you know, I don't ever want to be rich. You know, if that's what I'm going to have to do with my money,
with money you can afford to support a lot of good charitable and humanitarian causes. So you can either use your wealth and power for good, or you can use it for evil. So hopefully, Motown, when you do get rich, you'll use it for good.
You know what? You're so right, and that's exactly what I will do. And I won't use it, you know, to harm animals. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Yes.
These animals deserve the right to live just as much as we do.
And, you know, it's our responsibility, because mm-hmm. nobody else is, you know, we have to be responsible. It's like a child, you know. We have to be responsible for children, because they're unable to, they don't have a voice. So we have to speak up for them, and they deserve our care and respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as we come to a close, I definitely want to acknowledge the fact that you are a TV producer, and you do a fantastic job producing documentaries on animal awareness, animal consciousness. Tell us about some of your future goals, and while you're mentioning your future goals in the television business in terms of animals, also let everyone know where they can locate and find your channels and your websites and things like that, please.
Okay. My website is www.feedtheminds.com. Feedtheminds.com. I'm working with Ed Begley Jr. He's a 6-time Emmy nominated actor. You might know him from Saint Elsewhere or Living with Ed. He's a great environmentalist and activist. Currently, I put my programs on YouTube. Also, some of my programs air on the Jewish Life television network, and soon I'm going to be on PBS, some of the PBS stations.
Very nice.
Animal consciousness, people helping animals, people helping the planet.
Absolutely, because animals help us every day. Every day animals are there to help us, whether they're a pet, you know, whether they're animals at the zoo. They're helping us out, so it's our duty to do the same, without a doubt.
Help them.
Adana, you have any last questions for Tom?
Well, I was hoping we'd get to the topic of global warming, but we'll be on here for 3 hours.
I'll just do it real quick. We have to reduce carbon emissions. So the less you drive, the better. Walk, take a bike, ride public transportation.
Excellent.
Right. I believe in public transportation, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. Tom, it has really been a pleasure having you on this show, sharing this knowledge and exposing my audience to this information that we all should be aware of. You have extended my mind to places that I will maintain and continue this fight to educate people on animal awareness. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you,
Motown Maurice. Yeah. I appreciate your concern and you giving me the opportunity to talk with you and letting the people become more aware of protecting the environment and helping animals.
Yes. We are all in this together. So thank you, Tom. Thank you, with Donna Kay, for being on the show.
Absolutely.
I do have one more question for you, Tom. Can you handle one more question?
One more. Okay, sounds good.
All right. Doesn't have anything to do with animals, but I would like to know if you know who's the future of late night television.
Motown Maurice.
That is the right answer.
Woo!
Indeed. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank
you.
You
are a blessing.
Thank you, Adonna
you
Kay.
Thank you, Tom.
You are a blessing.
God bless you
humanity.
All.
Thank you very much. Make sure you check out feedtheminds.com. That is feedtheminds.com. Thank you, Tom. Until next time, thank you, Adonna Kay. This is Motown Maurice. Signing off for Motown Maurice and Friends. It's been a wonderful, very educational episode, and we must all come together and fight for animal rights, animal consciousness, and share the word, the good word of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Check me out on my quest at MotownMaurice.com. That's MotownMaurice.com in your spare time. Until next time, have a good day. Be blessed and conscious.